Let us hear the word of God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would feed us with your word. Uplift Christ before us, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. What are you going to be when you grow up? Some of us are still wondering, aren't we? I hope it's whatever you want it to be. Okay? This question has been asked to countless people, children, even adults. A little girl may want to be a ballerina. A young boy may want to be an astronaut. But whatever those dreams or those desires are, those dreams are special and unique. And no one says, "I want to grow up to be a hobo. I want to grow up to be the dreg of society." Those dreams do not end with children. Parents have those same dreams. My parents have said that to me. I've said that to my kids. You've said it. Yet, as we say those things, we also need to be very careful. If we are to biblically encourage our children to be all that they can be, we must make sure that they are aware of what they are. When you build a house, you got to have a proper foundation. If you don't have that proper foundation, it's going to be disastrous. In the same way, if we are to build up our children, we must have a proper foundation. And that proper foundation begins with what we are. If we want our young people to reach for the God of heaven, we must teach them to first understand that they are of the dust of the earth. Scripture says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground." We are told this so that we will remain humble before God and humble before one another. You may be beautiful. You may be handsome. You may be wealthy. You may be greatly educated. But if there is anything about you that would allow you to boast before other people, remember that you are of the dust of the earth. And since you are made with humble material, you need to walk humbly before God. And you need to walk humbly with each other. If you want to live within the realm of reality, in other words, where we really are, not a fairy tale, but what we are and where we are, we must remind ourselves and we must remind our children that we are created beings and we are created from the dirt. We have a low and humble beginning. And therefore, we are limited in what we can do, and we are limited in what we can accomplish. We are not the potter. Instead, we're the clay. We're not descendants of the angels. We do not have royal blood running through us. Just think about this. Each day, when you get up, you put on shoes. Why do you put those shoes on? You put those shoes on to protect your feet from the dirt. The dirt, the material that we are made from. The same dust that the pig wallows in, the same dirt that the dog wallows in, the same ground dirt that gets on your hands and you have to wash it off before you eat. That's where we begin. And when we die, that's what we will become. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes. Just like the possum that's been hit by a car and is decomposing on the side of the road. That will happen to us. One day we will die, and we will be put into the ground, and we will begin to decompose. Remember your humble beginnings. It's not our humble beginnings that make us sinful. No, not at all. But we are already in a humble situation. And we make matters worse when we rebel against God. The writer to the Ecclesiastes, which we believe to be maybe King Solomon, says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Remember thy Creator before the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." You see, if we are to teach our children to live in reality, if we are to teach our children to have a good biblical self-image, we are not to encourage their pride. Instead, we are to remind them to remember their Creator. This will keep them humble. This will keep us humble. We are not of royal blood. Instead, we are of the dust of the earth. But think about this. When the potter is to make something beautiful, he takes a lump of clay that is not beautiful, that has no shape, no beauty of it at all, and he molds it into something that is beautiful and useful. We have our beginnings in a low and humble condition. We begin as dirt, but that's not all we are. We are also images. Images of God. God did not make Adam and Eve to resemble the dirt, the dust, the rock. No. He made Adam and Eve and imprinted upon them His image that they may worship Him and be useful vessels in His kingdom. He starts with clay, but then He finishes with something very beautiful. We start without beauty, but then beauty is given to us. This dignity of every man and woman being made in the image of God. See, it was very radical in Moses' day. In Moses' day, with the Israelites in captivity in Egypt, it was commonly understood politically, educationally, financially. Everything about the Egyptian worldview was that Pharaoh was God. He was the King of Kings, and He assigned you value in accordance with how He wanted to use you. But He was King. And this idea had permeated the minds of the Israelites. They had been in Egypt hundreds of years. So you know that after a while, they came to believe some of the Egyptian religious and political things. people being made in the image of God was nowhere in Pharaoh's understanding. He thought he was God. The entire nation thought Pharaoh was God. Therefore, the value that he assigned to you is what you were. So God did some things. He sent some plagues upon Egypt. It's interesting to note that those plagues, they were all Egyptian demigods. The gnats, the flies, the frogs, whatever else there may be. In the Egyptian thinking, these are demigods, and Pharaoh controls all of them. So God attacks the worldview of Egypt, the worldview of Pharaoh, because he destroys all of the things that Egypt and Pharaoh considered to be sacred. God revealed to Moses how the creation of man took place, so that when the Israelites would enter into the land of Canaan, they would not forget how Pharaoh had treated them, but that they would understand their humble beginnings. They would understand the redemption that God had provided for them, and that they would worship the Lord God with all their heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. It's a good lesson for today. All around us, people have problems in their homes, at school, at work, in the government, even at the church. Why is it? It is because we forget that each of us are made in the image of God. Each of us are valuable. Each of us has been placed where you are in order to serve Christ. And to rebel against that and to be against your neighbor is then to deny the fact that your neighbor is made in the image of God. When you look down upon somebody, you may be right, but if you look down upon them and sneer at them in contempt, then you're acting the part of Pharaoh. You have forgotten your abilities. How in the world should I be upset with someone else when I myself am nothing but dust? I went to the University of Tennessee, and I was a resident director in the largest dormitory there on campus. And one day, this fellow was making fun of this Asian girl. This girl was from Vietnam. She had been a victim of the Vietnam War. And because of that, she had lost a hand. Well, this fellow, day after day after day, would call attention to himself by ridiculing this Asian girl who had one hand. And I thought to myself, and I would have said I was a Christian, but I really wasn't. But I thought, how terrible this is. 2 weeks later, this fellow was out playing basketball. He was 21 years old. He fell over dead. Lessons to be learned. You don't mess with God's stuff. You don't mess with those who are made in His image. Because to ridicule those who are made in the image of God is, in fact, to ridicule God. This fellow just fell over dead. And I wondered, where is this guy now? He had messed with God's stuff. Where is he now? When you put people down, you're putting God down. God becomes the object of your jokes. When you talk down about people, you're elevating yourself above them and proclaiming in a subconscious way that you're Pharaoh and you assign value to people. You set yourself up as the standard that everybody else must conform to. If you remember 9/11, as we all do, the Islamic terrorists attacked the Twin Towers. It really wasn't against the Twin Towers that they were seeking to hurt. The Twin Towers were images. They were things that represented our nation. And it was thus the United States that they were slandering. They were against. It was the United States, not the towers, but the United States that they were attacking. Well, Jesus says the same thing. When you attack other people, when you withhold food or clothing or shelter, the necessary things that a person needs, when you don't provide those things, then you are actually attacking the image of God that they are. In closing, I'm going to tell you this story. When I was in sixth grade, and that wasn't too long ago. When I was in sixth grade, I was considered one of the cool guys. You probably would have never guessed that. But I was. I was one of the cool guys. And at lunch, we had the cool guys table. There was six or seven of us that belonged to the cool guys club. Well, one day, the leader of the cool guys, the coolest of the cool, he got mad at me. And the next thing I know, I was banished from the cool table. From the first time in my life, I began to see the world from the people that sat in other tables. You know, they were no different from me. They couldn't run as fast as me. They couldn't hit the ball as far as I could. Because, see, that's what I thought made me cool. No, they could not do that, but they could do things that I couldn't do. The only thing that made me cool was that I could outrun them. Well, funny thing is that now I can't run as fast as I did when I was 12. But those guys that were on the uncool table, they're still playing their musical instruments. I can't do it anymore, but they can. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? So who is the cool one now? It's not me. It's the one who can do outstanding things. But Moses' record of humanity's creation, it offers us good news to all who are not at the cool table. Our value does not rest in external circumstances. No, our value remains with Jesus Christ. We are so valuable to Christ, so loved by Christ, that He gave His life for us in order that our sins would be forgiven. We have dignity, we have value, because we are made in His image. Doesn't matter what others say. We have value because God has already said, you are valuable. So I ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Whatever it is, remember, you began in dust, and to dust you will return. And even in a little while, people will not even remember you. But because you're made in the image of God, and because Jesus Christ has died to redeem that image in you, you go from dust to dust to glory. Let us not be a Pharaoh as we deal with one another. Let us not exalt ourselves as we deal with one another, but instead, let us take the humble position that we may exalt Jesus Christ in our relationships with one another. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have not left us to ourselves, but instead you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. We thank you for him. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Bless us, Heavenly Father, for we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning as we stand and sing 264. 264, Jesus, keep me near the cross.